Let's put our hands together for what God is going to do in the coming year. Amen. It's a blessed new year to everyone. How many of you were here last night at the Watch Night? Okay, if you were here this morning, you know, at the Watch Night celebration, okay, you have the privilege to hear the sermon the second time. God wants to speak to you a second time right now, all right, so that you get the message really, really deep inside into you, all right. Now, just a quick, you know, highlight before I preach, you know, this coming Saturday will be an interesting celebration. Last night, when I preached at the Watch Night celebration, I was telling everyone it's something new for me because I've never done it before, preaching at a Watch Night celebration. So that was my first time preaching at any Watch Night celebration for that matter. And so this coming Saturday will be a rather interesting celebration because we, as usual, every year, we come together as one church, meaning that six congregations coming together. Sometimes we have it in Sunway Convention Center because that's a big enough place, but this time around, we say that why don't we have it here? And so that we have it over to celebration, so the different congregation can come together and become one church as we acknowledge that. So this coming Saturday, we're going to have it during midnight. It's going to be a midnight celebration. I've never preached after midnight before in my entire life, right? So it'll be the first time for me as well. But why midnight? Simple reason. Because usually on a combined celebration like this, we hardly get any of our Myanmarese members coming to join us because most of them, as you know, are working. And so they can only have a celebration at midnight. So rather than have them coming to join us, which usually they can't, so we thought this year, let's do something different. Why don't we join them? Right. We join them during their regular time of midnight celebration. So if you've never been to a midnight celebration before, come join us on a Saturday where I will preach about Forward 2017, about God's vision, casting God's vision for 2017. And if you're not those type, you're not a midnight out, then join us the following morning. But tell you what, come for a midnight celebration. It will blow you out of your seat, all right? Why? Because the Myanmarese, you know, congregation is really a worshipful congregation. When you come and when they lead you in worship, it will be amazing. So come and join us midnight this coming Saturday. And so, as usual, we want to lift up the Word of God. Amen? So let's stand up. Let's lift up the Word of God and say after me, this is my Bible. And I love doing this because we need to hold up the Bible and say, this is the authority of God over us. It is a reminder to me as a preacher. I don't want to preach my own thoughts. I want to preach the thought of God. I want to preach the Word of God. It's nothing about me. It's all about the Word of God. Amen. Are you ready? This is my Bible. Ready? Let's say it aloud together. One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Amen. We're going to read together from the screen so that all of us read from the same version of Bible. Are you ready? Let's declare the Word of God aloud together. One, two, go. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Father, we pray right now, may the reading of your word begin to impress upon our hearts a new truth, Lord, that we can practice, Lord, today. And so we commit ourselves to you, praying once again, God, we are your sheep. We want to hear the voice of the shepherd, and all God's sheep say, amen. Please be seated. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said that we pray for the big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary, small, and yet really not small gifts. And sometimes in the small things that we can actually see God's hand in our lives. And so this morning, you know, I'm wondering in your mind, as you enter 2017, what was going on? On Christmas, I asked that same question. What was going on in your mind as you entered the new year? So many of us have different thoughts. Maybe this year has been a great year. Maybe this year has been a terrible year in your perspective. Maybe, you know, it's a so-so year. But I think I'm often encouraged that when I come to a new year, I know God has already gone ahead of me, amen? God is already there because God has no time. And I believe that this will be one day the blessings of heaven, or new earth rather, when we're given a new body, when we have eternal life. And I'm wondering in my mind, what does eternal life mean? It simply means, I think, that we all always live in the now. We're excited about the now. Living life like that is an amazing life. There's no time because we're always living in the now. And that's what, as I thought about, you know, 2017, I want to learn how to live with that eternal life God has given to me. I live in the now. That's exciting because God is here with us. But many of us enter into 2017. Maybe we carry with us a certain baggage in our lives because of things that have happened to you. I don't know. Only you know what your background is. Now, if I were to present to you a blank sheet of paper, imagine that screen is a blank sheet of paper, and I'm going, what do you see? You see a blank sheet of paper? Obviously, I'm asking a foolish question, right? But what if I were to put a dot? If I were to ask you now, what do you see? Turn to your neighbor, what did you see? Tell your neighbor, what did you see? You see a black dot, right? So that's obvious. We see the black dot. In fact, we keep seeing the black dot. And sometimes we focus so much on the black dot that it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and finally it overwhelms us. We can't even see the white around the paper, although it's such a small dot. You know, that's human behavior. Sometimes these small dots in our life, the black dot in our life, we are so overwhelmed by the tiny little dot that it overwhelms our life entirely. And I believe God this morning, as I was waiting upon the Lord, God, what is the first message that you want me to preach? And the last message, because there was a last message yesterday night, okay? And so the last message and the first message the Lord reminded me in this whole area of developing a lifestyle of thanksgiving in our lives. Look at the white, not at the black. And we learn how to do that. Certain things will happen in our life, and let me explain to you what I mean. So let me ask you this question. Do we complain more or are we more thankful? Which one are you? What kind of person are you? All right? How many of you here are more thankful? Don't raise your hand, because the one who didn't raise their who don't raise their hand, all right? Are the complaining type maybe. I don't know, all right? Only you know. But the Bible have often talked a lot about being thankful. Let me show you a couple of verses here. The first verse says, why don't we read aloud together a very important verse. Ready? One, two, go. Rejoice, always, pray, continually, give thanks in what circumstances? What circumstances? Again? That's an amazing verse. How can you give thanks in all circumstances when my car tire puncture? All right? When things go wrong in our life, how can I even give thanks? But it's so clear in Scripture, give thanks in all, not some, not a few, all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then second verse, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and what? Thankful. Thankful. I can go a couple more verses. Go, you know, do a Bible search, a word search for the word thanks or thank or thankful. You will find lots of it coming out. Paul and Silas, if you remember in Acts chapter 16, they were thrown in jail. And anyone in jail, I suppose, you are given the right to moan and groan, right? Why am I in this place? Moreover, for Paul and Silas, they were in jail because of their faith in God. And there they were, amazingly not moaning and crying and complaining. What were they doing? They were praying and they were singing. They were singing hymns, the Bible says. And as they were doing that, as they were worshiping God, the prison door opened. Do you know that's a very powerful truth if you want a breakthrough in our lives? That when things seem to go wrong, when we are trapped in the prison of life, God may be saying to you, be thankful, give praise to Him, thank Him. And as you do that, prison doors open. I think that's a powerful truth there. And Psalm 22, verse 3 says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One, you are the praise of Israel. And the New Revised Standard Version says it this way, yet you are holy enthroned on the praises of Israel. Now, whatever that means, all right, it simply gives me a simple thought, that when I praise God, when I'm thankful to God, God is enthroned in my praises. In other words, whenever I give thanks to God, when I'm thankful, God's presence is with me. Now, if you are beginning now to get the idea, you begin to realize that one of the most powerful things that can happen to us in 2017 is this. We learn to be thankful. We learn to praise God. When we learn to do that in the midst of all the black dots around, God's presence comes into our lives. And when God's presence is in our midst, there's nothing He cannot do through our lives. And prison doors will be open. Breakthrough will come into your life, into your business, into your family. You'll be amazed. Then we become more thankful. There's even more breakthrough. So when we look at our country, for example, there are a lot of black dots. A lot. Some are bigger black dots. So what is the scriptural command? Not give thanks for the black dots. I didn't say that give thanks for the black dots. I said give thanks for things that you need to give thanks to. And I explain to you later, there are so many things that we can be thankful for. So what's the big idea? This is the big idea, and I believe that this is the word of God for the whole of the UMC. And this is the big idea. Thanksgiving invites His presence into our lives. An amazing, amazing thought here. God just impressed it upon me. He said, Chris, if you can get the church to learn how to be thankful in all circumstances, as God's people, the UMC people begin to be thankful, as you are being thankful for in every circumstance, God's presence will come upon us. And when God's presence comes upon us, this will be a powerful church. This will be a church used by God powerfully. And so Thanksgiving invites His presence into our lives, and what better passage to preach this than for the passage about the 10 lepers. And so let's look at this story of the 10 lepers. And the first point is this, that obedience leads to miracles. And verse 12 says this, all right? As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. How many men are there? 10. So 10 men, can you imagine 10 men line up here, all right? They stood at a distance. What does distance mean? Far away. So if you are standing in the distance to Jesus, the 10 men at the distance to Jesus, if they were to try to get the attention of Jesus, what must they do? They have to shout, okay? And so they stood at a distance and call out in a loud voice. Now, I want you to demonstrate to me now, all of you demonstrate to me, how do you think that phrase, Jesus must have pity on us, sounds like? Are you ready? You're going to read it for me. That's that one line, all right? Are you ready? Try to imagine yourself as a 10 lepers now. Are you ready? One, two, go. I heard some of you say, Jesus, Master, have pity on us lah. I don't think it sounded like that, you know? All right? Now read together with me again, all right? I'm trying to over-dramatize. Maybe I'm not over-dramatizing, actually. I think it is more dramatic than that, all right? Ready? That one phrase. Ready? One, two, go. Jesus! Master! Have pity on us! And while they were doing that, you know what their hands gesture would be like? Jesus! Have pity on us! All right? That's how it sounds like. I want you to sense the desperation. The desperation in that line. And when Jesus saw them from a distance, He said, go, show yourself to the priest. Do you know that's a very, very strange remark? Here you have 10 men said, Jesus, heal me, have pity on us. And then Jesus just looked at them from a distance, remember? Go, Show yourself to the priest. Huh? They were scratching their head. Why is he asking me to show myself to the priest? Now, let me give you the context of what that means. Some of you may not know your Old Testament very well here. Now, in the Old Testament, if you are a leper, and if you for some reason got healed, now, lepers, when you catch this dreaded disease, you be kept away in a, we call it a leper colony, all right? And where you are separated from society. You can't get near people. And so, if you are healed, all right, you need to go to the priest in the temple, show yourself to the priest, and the priest will examine you. And once he examines you, he sees that you are clear of leprosy, he will say, you are clear. He pronounces it, and he will let the people know that this man is now clear of leprosy, and he now can go back to society. Now, here Jesus is telling these 10 lepers here, go show yourself to the priest. They'll be scratching their head, but we still have leprosy on our skin, on our body and all that. Jesus, what do you mean? No, go show yourself to the priest. I'm not sure how many times Jesus had to say that to them. Because I'm sure they were stunted. They were saying, huh? What did he just say? Go show yourself to the priest. But look at us. All right? Now, in case you have not seen what a leper is like, go to Google image. Just Google leprosy. Or lepers, you'll be shocked by the image that you see. People without nose, people without ears, people without fingers and toes. They are a shocking sight. People who suffer from this disease. And so, you know, they will be wondering, why is Jesus asking me to show myself to the priest? Jesus said, go. Now remember, Jesus is nothing shown in scripture to say that Jesus had touched them or Jesus had done anything to them. All Jesus said was, go show yourself to the priest. And the most amazing part of this passage is this. As they went, they were confused. All right, go show myself to the priest. And all 10 went. All right, they were confused, but they went anyway. They went anyway. And by the time they walked and reached the priest, they were totally healed. Now, doesn't that remind you of Christmas message? Of water turning into wine? Doesn't that remind you that when the servants filled the jar with water to the brim? And Jesus said to the servants, just take some of this water and bring it to the master of the banquet. And I'm sure the servants were the same thing. They were confused. Jesus, this is water. What are you asking me to do? I'll make a fool of myself if I were to take this water now to the master of the banquet when we tasted it and he says, water, we'll be scolded. Jesus, what are you doing? No, show it, all right? Take this water and show it to the master of the banquet. And obediently, because they are servants, they obediently took the water and as they walk to the master of the banquet, by the time they reach the master of the banquet, what did the master of the banquet say? This is the best wine ever. The best wine ever. Now, I hope by now you begin to recognize there's a consistent message in the scripture that obedience leads to miracles. You see, in our human mind, often we want to do this, right? Jesus, you give me a miracle first, then I'll move. If you don't show me a miracle, I will not move. And in the scripture, often it's the other way around. When Jesus said, do this, you do it because you are a follower of Christ. And when you begin to do it, a miracle takes place. Not the other way around. And I can prove it to you over and over again in Scripture. It's the same pattern. For example, Moses. He said, if you want the water to part for the Red Sea, God says, hold up your hand. You know, if I were Moses, I would say to God first, all right, God, will you part the sea first? Then I raise my hand. Is that possible? Because then I know for sure that water is parting. Right? That's human thinking. But God says, no, you raise up your hand first. So he raised up his hand, and then the water part, right? Now the same thing goes for when there was a fighting among the Amalekites. He was standing on a hill, and God says to him, whenever you raise your hand, the battle is won. Joshua was leading the battle. He said, whenever you raise your hand, it is not about how great the army, the Israelite army was. It's about the raising of hands. It's a very strange battle. Every time Moses raises his hand, the battle is won. And when he gets tired, the hands go down, the battle start. They started losing in the battle. And so Aaron and Hur standing next, two young men looking at Moses and say, hey, we observe the pattern, you know. Every time his hands goes up, they are winning the war. Every time the hands goes down, they are losing the war. So let's stand beside Moses and prop up his hand so that the hand is up all the time. And when he does that, the battle was won. It's a very strange battle, you know. Nothing like Lord of the Rings. Right? With the power and might, we win the day. And then Joshua, same thing. He wanted to cross the River Jordan. And there were these priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the instruction given to Joshua was, have the priest now step into the water. Of course, the priest and the people were wondering, but step into the water with the Ark of the Covenant while the water is still flowing at flood stage, by the way. Flood stage means it's overflowing. The water will be flowing very, very fast. I'm quite sure with fear and trepidation, as the priest was carrying the Ark of the Covenant, step into the water, really? All right. They may be giving excuses, you know, but the ark, you know, we need to protect the ark. No. Instruction clear from God. Step into the water. And so the moment they step into the water, what happened? God stopped the flow upstream. And the riverbed became dry. And the people of God walked across the River Jordan. Naaman, remember the story of Naaman, the Syrian army commander? He heard about Elisha. A servant girl went up to her and said, this prophet Elisha, he's a healer as well. And so by the time the Syrian commander Naaman went to Israel, Elisha simply tells him, go dip yourself in the water 7 times. Huh? He looked at River Jordan, it was so muddy. In his mind, he was thinking, there are better waters in my country. Why in the world would I want to come to Israel with the muddy River Jordan and dip myself 7 times? This is so humiliating. But the instruction is clear. In fact, God used a servant girl to say, this is not too hard for you, right? He said, not really. So Naaman obeyed that. And he went into the muddy River Jordan, not 1 time, not 2 times, 7 times he went in. You know how silly that is? For the Syrian army commander, the largest army, the most powerful army during of his times, walking into or dipping himself into the river 7 times, not one, but 7 times. By that time, by the 6th time, by the 7th time, people were laughing. I'm sure his soldiers are laughing at him. But by the time 7th time, when he comes up the water, he was completely healed. 2 more examples. Matthew chapter 12. A man with a shriveled arm. You know what shriveled arm is? Meaning that your arm is shriveled. You can't move it. You cannot move your shriveled arm. And what did Jesus say? Stretch out your hand. It's quite a funny instruction there. Jesus, my hand is shriveled. How in the world do I stretch it out? No, you stretch it out. And the Bible says the man stretched his shriveled hand out and he got healed. Right? And one last example. The 5 loaves and 2 fish. A small little boy carrying with him 5 loaves, 2 fish, and there are thousands of people, 3,000-4,000 people. And Jesus simply said to them, distribute these 5 loaves and 2 fish. In the mind of the disciples, no way 5 loaves and 2 fish are going to feed thousands of people. But what did they do? They obeyed. They went ahead and began distributing. You know the story. By the end, there were more than enough and overflowing, because the things that the loaves, the bread, the collected bread, and the fish were more than what they had originally. What's my point? My point is this. Are there things in our lives that God wants you to obey? It may sound really foolish. It may sound really hard. But God says that a miracle will not happen until you obey. You know, sometimes we rob ourselves of a miracle in our lives. Why? Because we tell God, God, you do it first, then I move. And God often wants to build faith into our life. And this is my prayer for you, that in this year 2017, God is going to speak into your life. And many of you are already hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is telling you certain things that you do, and you're still arguing with Him. And I pray that we have a heart of the servant, do it. And when we do that, we will see more and more miracles happening in our lives. We want a breakthrough in our lives, right? There's some of us, we have certain addiction in our life. You know, sometimes we have so many people up here praying, and this is a great time. I think UMC is one of those churches, you know, that we are privileged to have a ministry time at the end of every celebration. Not many churches have that. But we give time for people to be prayed for. Church, don't take this for granted. This is a privilege that we all have. That at the end of the celebration, people will come up for prayer. And often when I pray for people, they are telling me, Pastor, I need more faith to overcome this problem in my life. And after a while, having been a pastor for so many years now, over 20 years, I begin to realize that sometimes in our Christian life, we want shortcut. Why? We think that by having someone lay hands on our head and suddenly, boom, everything will be fine. Right? He said, we need more faith. But actually, Jesus said, it's not more faith that you need, because if you have a faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, you know? So it's not faith that you need more. You know what you need more? Obedience. Stop it! Don't do this anymore. Obey the Lord in that area. Stop it. Grow up. And that's the message that many of us need to hear and listen and obey. Right? Sometimes we spiritualize everything. We come to God and say, Lord, I need more faith. No, no, no. God said, no, you don't need more faith. You need obedience in your life. Go do it. And when you obey God in this area, it will lead to miracles in our lives. And as you're listening to this right now, you know what I'm talking about. Because God is already speaking to you. Give that up. Stop doing this. Trust me. God gave you a vision to do something. I don't know. I cannot. Do it anyway. Last night, it was so amazing. That one sister walked up to me and said, this year I struggle big time. I'm the cannot person. Everything do also cannot. I became the cannotite, sir. Right? Everything cannot. But the Lord spoke to me yesterday night. She said, the Lord told me that you can. I already told you to do this. And she came crying to me and said, Pastor, I heard the voice of God. I will do it this year. And so, in that sense, obedience will lead to miracles. Will you obey God? And not only obedience will lead to miracles, then the subsequent thing is that miracles, then, once we receive that miracle, will lead us to thanksgiving. And verse 15 says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, how many lepers were there? 10, all right? Now, one of them, when he saw he was healed, by the way, all 10 were healed, right? But one of them, when he saw he was healed, right, when he was pronounced by the priest that he's healed, he came back praising God in a, what voice? Loud voice. So do you think he came back and said, Jesus, thank you, eh? Did he say it that way? I don't think so. All right. I think he came back, he was jumping, he was healed, right? He said, Jesus, thank you. I don't know how he would say it, right? And I think when you're excited about something, you would just shout out, thank you, Jesus. You know, you can only do that when you receive a miracle from God. A person can only be thankful if he receives something, right? You can't be thankful if you've not received anything. You cannot go in the last Christmas to someone and say, thank you for the Christmas gift you will give me later. Do you do that? Some of you I know do that because you want Christmas gift. Remind the person, I want my Christmas gift, okay? But you don't do that. You only say thank you after you have received it. You see, some of us, I think, you know, we don't understand that there's a need for us to be thankful to God. That is why we don't go and shout to Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus. We find it so hard. Why? Because we have not felt what the leper felt. Let me give you background to leprosy. See, I mentioned earlier on, if you're a leper, you are banished from the society. You live among yourselves. Lepers will live among themselves in a colony. They are social outcasts. They are not allowed to go near people. In fact, when they go out, all wrapped up in their bandages and all that, because their faces are disfigured. They have lost their toes, their fingers. And when they go out, they have to shout, unclean, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine you go out now and to Petaling Jaya Street? And they say, unclean, unclean. All right. And then some of them would have bells with them, and they will ring, unclean, ring, 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 unclean, unclean. Why? Don't come near me. That's what it means. Don't come near me. Now, if you are a family member, if you're a mother, if you're a father, if you contracted, leprosy, you have to leave your family. You have to leave out away from your family. If you're a child, you have to leave away from your family, away from the people that you love. And so being a leper, lepers are broken and rejected people. You see, leprosy eats away the ability of the nerve to feel. Right? Dr. Paul Brand, a missionary to India in the early 40s, he went there to India and discovered that Indians were struck with leprosy, for many of them. And he also realized that, although the leprosy itself, right, does not cause your toes, your digits rather, to waste away. It just deadens your nerve, that's all. But he noticed that many of the lepers had digits that were missing. That means it's gone, it's dropped off. The toes, the fingers have dropped off, nose have dropped off. So he wanted to discover why. So he got a few of his helpers, all right, to stay in the room where the lepers were and observe what happened. So for a few nights, all right, he had these helpers observe what happened during the night. Now remember, lepers cannot feel their fingers. They cannot feel, all right? And so they discovered that at night, rats were coming out. And they were biting and chewing off their digits, their toes, their fingers. And they don't feel any pain. And so over time, lepers would also hurt themselves. They may be cutting on something. They may be talking to somebody and they cut their finger. They don't even realize that they cut off their finger. Why? There's no pain. And so Dr. Paul Brand gave a simple solution. At least it helped those who have suffered from leprosy. He gave them, in their room, a cat. Why a cat? So that the rats will not come in to bite away the digits. And so I thought that was a brilliant solution to a complex problem. You know, many of the lepers will be blind. You know why they're blind? Because God designed our eyes to blink so that tears, all right, will clean up our eyes. And normally, we will stop blinking when there's pain in our eyes, when something gets into our eye. And so for the lepers, because they don't feel pain, guess what? They don't blink their eye. So they don't clean their eyes with natural tears. And over time, they just go blind because they cannot feel anything. And they will lose their eyesight. Now imagine now with me for a while, if you are a leper and God comes along and he heals you and heals you completely. And you go to a priest now and a priest tells you, you are completely healed. You can go back now to your family members. And as the leper, this one out of 10, as he was walking, then he saw Jesus. He would have gone back to the place where he was shouting at Jesus. Maybe Jesus was still hanging out there. And so the scriptures say he came back. And when he saw Jesus, now how then would you praise God when you see Jesus? If I were that leper, when I see Jesus, I would be running to him and shouting at the top of my voice, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And he will fall at the feet of Jesus later on. We will read that. And I think the reason why this leper was so exuberant in his praise and thanksgiving to God was because he was healed. You can't be thankful if there's no miracle in your life in that sense. All right. But it's because a miracle that happened, obedience that leads to miracle, and when miracle happens in your life, you learn to be thankful and really, really thankful because of what God has done in your life. You see, we generally are not very thankful people. I think that's general across the board. We are not thankful people. Are you the 10% or the 90%? The one that came back the 90% who didn't come back? We need to be reminded that we need to go back to God and thank Him. What can we thank God for? Have you thought about that? That is why I encourage you in the beginning of December, go home, spend some time writing down things that you are thankful for in your life. And I told you in 2014, I decided to do this exercise. Not that I've not done it before, but I thought I would now make it a ritual for my life. And I wrote down in 2014, by the end of 31st December, I have 500 things that I'm thankful to God for. When I first started out in 1st December, I thought it's impossible to write down 500 things. But I did. I suddenly realized that there are really, really a lot of things that I can thank God for. By the time I end in 31st December, coming to a watch night service, I remember a celebration, I came with a thankful heart. And last year, I decided to slow down a little bit more. Instead, I wrote 100 things. It's not like 2 years ago, right? We did it in the new year. In 2015, I wrote 50 things. And this time around, I decided I'm going to slow down even more. I'm going to write down, 50 things that I'm thankful for. And I did it. I spent some time just writing it. And I thank God for so many things in my life. Are there things that are wrong? Of course there are things that are wrong. But I realize that when I'm thankful to God, I don't look at the black dot. I look at the sheet of white paper. So what can we thank God for? We can thank God for example, this morning, you woke up. Right? You woke up, you can move your hand, you can move your leg, and you can come to church. Some of us on live stream, for example, you find it so hard to even come to church. Can you be thankful those on live stream for whatever reason that you can't come? I say you can. You can watch with your eyes. You still have to give a sight. You can thank God for the fact that you can taste food. You can swallow your food. We can thank God for the sun, the rain, the provision for each day. We thank God for our family. We thank God for our job. We thank God for our cell group. We thank God for the church. We thank God for the person sitting next to us. We thank God for this country. This is a great country, and all God's people say, can it be greater? Definitely it can be greater, but we thank God for even the freedom of worship that we have here. Every weekend we can meet like this. It's something we can be thankful to God for. You see, sometimes when we bother to slow down and reflect, things are not as bad as it seems. Because of all the miracles that happen in our lives, the greatest miracle, can I say, is this. The miracle of life, of eternal life. God has plucked us from hell. Are we aware of that? We are all headed to hell. But God plucked us out from hell and gave us a new life. If there's one thing we all can be thankful for, is this being thankful for this eternal life God has given to us. And for that, when we see Jesus, we can run to Him and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for life. And I think if God's people begin to recognize that, God healed a serious disease in our life. Do you know what disease? A common disease for all of us here. We have the same disease. A terrible, terrible disease called sin. God healed us of sin. He took away our sin, the Bible says, so that we are counted righteous before God. Shouldn't we be thankful? Amen? Let's give the Lord a clap for that. Can we do that? All right. We thank God for His grace, His mercy. All right. And I think we need to shout to God and say, God, thank you. See, that's a miracle of life. And so obedience leads to miracles. Miracle leads to thanksgiving. And thanksgiving leads to worship. Now, worship is not just about coming here, to worship God with music and song. Worship is more than that. Worship has to do with our life of surrender to God. We give worth to somebody. That's where the term worship comes from, to give worth to God. And verse 15 says this, one of them, in the earlier verse we read, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, then he goes on, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Samaritan is a half-breed. A Gentile and a Jew, they intermarry, they become Samaritan, and they are despised by the Jew. But yet, of all the people, it was the Samaritan who came back. And so in that sense, you know, it says that not only did he come to Jesus with a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. Now, how do you demonstrate he threw yourself at Jesus' feet? And I think he literally was running towards Jesus, and he threw himself. Now, threw himself could mean two things. One is to go down on your knees and throw himself this way. The other way is to prostrate in front of Jesus, meaning face down. There's a few times in the Bible it talks about falling down on his face. And I think it is not unthinkable to think of it that way. Because he was so thankful to God, he ran, he fell at Jesus' feet, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. And he was thankful, and that led to worship. Worship is about expressing gratitude to God. And so when we come here, we lift up our hand, we sing, and whatever that we do, right, we are actually saying to God, God, we are thankful. Worship is about being thankful to God. And some of you may say, Pastor, but I'm not a very expressive person because that's the kind of family background I come from. My family don't touch each other. We don't say we love each other. So, Pastor, please excuse me. I am not like that. But then I saw you at a football match, different one. All right, you could jump out there. Yeah, go, go, go. You jump so high. But here, come to church. I'm not like that one. I'm not like that one. You see, I don't believe you. Really, I don't believe you. Because Arsenal and MU, right? Menu, rather, right? Seems more worthy of worship. Because when you score a goal, you what? What do? You jump up and down, yeah, yeah, yeah. You dance, I'm not dance, yeah, woo, 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 right? But when you come to church, sorry, I am not wired that way. You see the problem here? Right? The other thing that I noticed is that you see, you're not expressive, like, the moment you have a girlfriend or boyfriend, change, you know, you all change, right? Suddenly, you know, you're so expressive, right, you know. Even your mother is shocked. My son like that, I don't believe it. Why? Because out of that love relationship, it allows you to express in ways that's just come right out from inside you. Sure, I'm not expecting everybody to express it this way. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you must be the dancing kind. I'm not saying that. And by the way, I'm not the dancing kind too. All right? I only remember when I was a teenager, I do the cha-cha, right? After that, I never danced after that. Until I came to know the Lord, I begin to discover Scripture, and it says that it is good to dance before the Lord. My dancing is a very simple kind of dancing. Just jump up and down, all right? And once in a while, right? Just jump. Why? Because I'm excited about God. That's why. Because it's like a football match. In fact, it's better than a football match. God scored a goal in my life, you see? And I'm so excited that I jump up and down and say, yes, Jesus, thank you. And you know what my prayer is for DUMC? That I pray there will be more and more exuberant in our worship. I'm not saying you'll be like me or I'll be like you. I'm just saying, will we become more thankful in our lives? And we show that through our excitement with God. Parents understand this. When you come home from a hard day at work, hard day's work, and when you see your children standing at the door, eagerly waiting for you, and then when the kid finally saw your car driving in, and you see your kids jumping out, yeah, daddy is back, yeah, yeah, hallelujah, thank you, God, my daddy is back. How does that make you feel? Great. How do you think your daddy will feel about you? Your daddy in heaven. When you come excited about Him, I think tears be running, if God has physical tears, that is, tears be running down His eyes when He see His church, the bride of Jesus Christ, being exuberant about Him. See, you don't know me. I'm also not the exuberant kind one, you know. I'm an introvert, by the way. Honestly, I'm an introvert. I'm so introvert that I like to see movie by myself. Because I don't want you to disturb me. I want to watch movie by myself. So if you ever see me at the movie by myself, don't be alarmed, okay? That's my zone out time. But I know that when I come before God, I don't have to be myself. I need the Holy Spirit to inspire me to worship Him. It's not about me, it's about God. Sometimes we are so self-conscious about ourselves, we forgot this Almighty God that's in front of us, you know. We are too self-conscious about ourselves. When we come to celebration like this, it is not about ourselves, it's about God. And so as I was reading scripture, I say, Lord, how can you teach me how to be more expressive and exuberant in my worship? It's not about my makeup. It's about what is the right thing to do. So we go to scripture. There are 7 words in the Bible that describe different ways of showing gratitude to God. Let me just quickly run through with you these 7 words here. The first word is the word barak. Everybody say barak. Wow, you know a Hebrew word already. Barak. Barak means to kneel or bow in thanksgiving. This verse here says, I will bless, I will barak the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So when you read a psalm like this, I will barak the Lord at all times. This is what you need to do. You need to kneel down. Now, thank God, you know, in that sense, I grew up in an Anglican church. So in an Anglican church, in a small town that I come from, we do a lot of kneeling. That's where I learned how to kneel, right? Throughout the service, we kneel down, we come up, we kneel down, it becomes a part of me. Kneeling is not a problem for me. So I love to kneel whenever the opportunity comes. And maybe we should introduce that more and more in DMC as well. We learn to kneel before God. Because this is a scriptural command. So everybody say barak. The second word is the word halal. Not the halal restaurant. Eh? This is different, all right? Where the word hallelujah comes from, to praise, to make a show or rave about, giving thanks by being clamorously foolish, make a fool of yourself, and it's okay. Why? Because you're so excited about this God that you worship. You're so excited that you become like a football fan, or making a fool of yourself, you know, wear all kind of funny hats, put on funny makeups, make yourself so foolish. Why? Because you're excited about your football club. And I pray we will have the same excitement about God Himself. That we can, you know, give thanks by being clamorously foolish. By the way, this definition comes from Bible dictionaries, right? Concordance, word search. Right? And so, halal, you who fear the Lord, halal Him. You shout to the Lord. Shout. And you praise Him, you rave about Him. You do, whoo, whoo, whoo. Is it okay? I think it's okay. Because you're so excited about God. And the third word is shabak. Everybody say shabak. To give thanks in a loud tone. Or to shout. Shout! See, we don't come from the background. All right? So he said, shout. A bit tough for me. But scripture say, shout. But very hard. Then maybe start practicing at the football match. I don't know, all right? You just learn how to shout first. And I pray that this is something that when, you know, our worship leaders, they give a shout unto the Lord, we will learn to shout. Because it's scriptural to shout. So one generation commends that the word is shabak. One generation shabak your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. One generation telling another generation, they shout out that God is good, God is amazing, God is gracious. They shout it out. And the next one is toda. Everybody say toda. It is a thanksgiving choir of worshipers. For example, this verse here says that I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with Toda, with Thanksgiving choir or worshipers. So when we see our choir here, that is what Toda means. There's a choir of worshipers here. There's an even bigger choir of worshipers. Guess where that choir is? Everybody tap yourself and say, Mina, I'm the choir. This is a huge choir here, right? So when you come together, you praise God's name in song and glorify Him with choir, with a choir. And that's why we all sing aloud together. Christians love to sing. Why? Because this is thanksgiving to God, right? And the fifth is yada. Everybody say yada. To give thanks with extended or lifted hands. And this verse says, therefore, I will yada you. I will give thanks by lifting up my hand among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. So lifting up your hands is a biblical form of thanksgiving. But some of us say, Pastor, you don't understand. My hand quite heavy, cannot lift up. So when you sing a song like, lift up your hands to the coming King, bow before Him and adore Him, sing. Throughout the whole song, lift up your hands. It's behind. It doesn't make sense to me if you ask me. Right? So in DYMC, can I encourage you, no matter how heavy your hand is, I pray that the Holy Spirit move your hand up to lift up your hands this way to God. Right? And I think most of you, all right, do lift up your hands. I can see that. All right? It's not me telling you to do this, you know. It's a scripture telling you to do this. Nothing to do with me. All right? It's not a preferred method. It's not. It's a scriptural method. All right? So lift up your hands now to the Lord. Is it heavy? No, right? And it's biblical. This is biblical, right, to do. And now, out of the seven words, only two words have to do with music. Interesting, isn't it? Only two words to do with music. So let's look at the sixth word. And it's tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah, to sing a spontaneous song of thanksgiving and praise to God out of an overflowing heart. So he says there, I will bless the Lord at all times. His tehillah shall continually be in my mouth. So what does it mean? It means that we sing a new song. We sing a song that is not a standard song that has been written. We sing a song out of spontaneity, like a child, you know, when you see the dad coming by, he sing a song, all right? And so sometimes on the stage here, we say, now let's sing in the Spirit. Now thank God for the New Testament age we're living in. God has given us the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they have not, in that sense, received it that way. But today in the New Testament age, right, the Holy Spirit has come, and one of the most powerful weapons of the Holy Spirit has given to us is the weapon of warfare or worship. And the Holy Spirit is going to give us a new song. All right, I find it so easy now to sing a new song in tongues. I don't have to make up words anymore in that sense. Sometimes I go into English, but most of the time I will sing a new song in tongues. The Holy Spirit has given me that gift to be able to sing in a tongue. And so I pray that all of us will learn to exercise that, because that is scriptural, it's tehillah. That when the worship leaders say, let's now break into a new song, it is reflecting tehillah. It is not a charismatic thing, by the way. Oh, only those charismatic churches do that. Please, don't give all the fun to the charismatic church. We need to have all the fun to our worship. Right? We need to learn. If you say, Pastor, I don't know how to, then ask the Holy Spirit to help you. That's what He's here for. He leads and He guides you. So tehillah, the last line, the last word is zamar. Everybody says zamar. To give thanks with a musical instrument. For example, he said, I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness. My God, I will zamar to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. The lyre is actually a musical instrument. So here he says that we give thanks with a musical instrument. So in the worship, you know, in the Old Testament, that once in a while, the musical instrument will come on in worship to God. So now in a modern day context, this is what happened. Sometimes you will see in our worship team here, the guitarist or the pianist suddenly break into a new music. That is zamar. So don't ever think that, the guitarist now showing off. Or pianist there showing off with all his solo going on. You see, our musicians are learning how to give thanks to God with their instruments. And so the next time it happens, please don't get distracted. Learn to just flow into the worship through musical instruments. And they are also learning how to do that, right? And we need to give them greater freedom to do that and worship along with them. So here you have seven Hebrew words. All of you are more intelligent now, right? You can say Barak, Hallel, Shabak, Toda, Yada, Tehillah, and Zamar. Seven words that describe how we can give thanks to God. And I have not even begun to talk about the posture of worship yet. Right? This is only learning to give thanks to God. The posture of worship are dancing. Right? Of course, singing is part of it. Right? And many other postures of worship that we all need to learn, which is biblical. It's a Christian thing to do. And so this is my prayer, church, that in the year 2017, we all will learn how to worship God. Let me just end with this one here. Psalm 100, verse 4. It says there, enter his gate with thanksgiving. It has the Hebrew word todah, and it's called to praise the Tehillah, to give thanks, yada, to him, and praise Barak, his name. In one single verse, there are four words of worship posture, of gratitude posture, in just one verse. So if I were to interpret that, so it says there, enter his gate with a thanksgiving choir, and his gates with spontaneous singing. Give thanks by lifting your hands to him and bow before his name. In one verse, there are four worship posture. And this is amazing. When I study scripture, it releases me into a new move in the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit fills me now, I say, God, teach me, Lord, how to worship you. And when we worship God, a miracle will take place. So let me come to the last verse now. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Let me go back to the big idea. Thanksgiving invites his presence into our lives. And when the presence of God comes into our lives, into our personal life, comes to the life of the church, I tell you, miracles will take place. And I mentioned to you, it always starts with obedience. We all need to obey God. For some of us, God is saying, stop this. We need to stop it. Maybe it's an unhealthy relationship. Maybe it's a habit that we know is robbing us of our time. Maybe it is a habit where it is not honoring to God. I don't know why that is, only you know. And God is saying, stop it. Start the new year fresh. Allow God, as you learn to obey him, to cause a miracle that will take place in your life. A breakthrough, a prison door that is open. And when a miracle happens in your life, you will then be able to shout to Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. And you will jump and you will shout to God because you are so thankful, and that will lead us to worship. Worship of our life is surrendered to Jesus. And then this is my prayer, church, that when we do all this, my desire as a senior pastor of this church is this, that we will see the presence of God here. Because the presence of God is an amazing, amazing presence. That God will begin to do a miracle in our lives such that we will be Spirit-led and Spirit-directed in our lives. How do we give thanks? We give thanks by daily waking up and say, God, thank you for my life. Thank you for my family, Lord. Thank you in spite of all the things that have gone wrong. In all circumstances, God, I give you thanks. Some of us need to do that right now. Yes, it's a tough year last year. It may be even a tougher year this year. But we need to come to be thankful. Another way that we can show our gratitude to God is every year we have our anniversary gift weekend. In three weeks' time, we are going to have the privilege, I call it a privilege, because every year we come as a church, we give away the money collected to many, many organizations, churches, and individuals around the world. And do you know why each year we are so blessed? Because I believe that one of the hallmarks of DUMC is this, that we are thankful people. We are thankful that we can serve God, we can love God. And one of the expressions of thankfulness is that we learn to give. And it is why giving is a great culture that we have in DUMC. Because giving people are always thankful people, and that's always a good sign to have in any church. So I pray that as you think through, as you pray through your AGW, I've already done that, I told you, I've already set a figure way beyond what I've been giving many, many years now. God says, I want to challenge you to obey me, and then you'll see a miracle happening in your life. As God, and I have this figure in my mind, my wife asked me, so how much are you going to going to give? I said, you pray, you ask God. All right? So she went and she prayed, and then we come together, guess what? We have the same number. It was a different number from before, a way bigger number. But God spoke to me, God spoke to her. Just in that itself is a faith exercise for the two of us. I didn't tell her how much it was. She didn't tell me how much it was. But we prayed, we came together. Now tell me how much. I was amazed, same number. That in itself is a faith exercise. Obey, and the Lord will cause a breakthrough in your life. And last night, the greatest miracle was this. Pastor Jinglong came up to me and said, Pastor, there was no altar call yesterday, right? It was just a thanksgiving time, right? But someone accepted the Lord. Okay? Someone came up to me, a wife, you know, who has been going to Alpha, right? And she said, my husband came with me, not a Christian. I dragged him along for watch night. He said he wants to be a Christian. So can you please share with him? Can we go to the visitor's lounge? Oh, visitor's lounge not open last night, right? We just sit around here and share Christ with him. And he came to know the Lord. That is the greatest miracle, if you ask me. Amen? All right? And I told myself, Lord, that will be the miracles I want to see more and more every weekend, every day of the life of the church. That the gospel must be preached. That people will come to know Jesus, because the greatest gift is the gift of salvation, the miracle of salvation. Let's bow our heads right now. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is saying to you that you need to obey Him? Only you know. Because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you right now. He's going to put a thought in your mind. So ask Him. Holy Spirit, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord.